You're listening to Bigfoot Live. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
I want all the viewers in the world today to know that this creature is out there. I have no doubt in my mind that there is a primate, a hominoid, a biped, something that walks on two all over this country. There's an unknown species out there, and we're going to find it. We've done vocalizations. We receive something in return, answering to it. We're going to be sharing our finds with the world. Because what we've got now, no one else has. And the legend carries on by the work that we've done all these years.
Say it ain't not you.
Audrey. Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his driver's knee, and he was talking to Moxon Joe. Well, the party they gon' have out in the St. John's Swamps. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, it's TJ and Marco tonight, so you guys will have to deal with us. Isn't that right, Marco?
That's right. I have myself muted.
That's all right. And do we have a great show this evening. You know, we're going to be hearing from our friends out in Texas, Kentucky, and up in New York tonight, folks. You know, as we move into the season, most people think that the creatures aren't around. They're hibernating, or they're just kind of hanging out and not wanting to be seen. But, you know, I've got news for you. The creatures are out more now than they were during the summertime this year, Marco. I mean, the calls that I'm getting, the people that are letting me know that they're still having sightings this late in the season proves that we're having the later season, that it was a warmer time, and the creatures are on the move, and they're still out there, aren't they?
Yeah, well, you know, TJ, one thing that's really, really amazing, you know, when we first started, about 15 years ago, when we first started this radio show, we got a lot of calls from people on our hotline, but there were only when you Googled it, a few people out there that, you know, had anything, you know, BFRO, and a few other, you know, organizations in a couple of states, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But if you Google now, and just 2016 Sasquatch and Bigfoot sightings, I mean, it's just unbelievable. I mean, there's so many all over, and there's so many different organizations. Now, there are a lot of people, they don't go out and look for it. What they do is they receive the calls from, or the information from the people on the Internet and for other things, pictures and other things like that. And they just kind of sit back and collect all that stuff and publish it on their little blurb, right?
Right.
It's amazing. There's a lot. There's a lot out there, quite a bit.
You know, we're lucky to have so many people that we know across the U.S. that are, well, they're part of the community now. So when they're out in the woods and they're out in the field, they're keeping their eyes and ears open of what's going on. Because, you know, I mean, if you're not looking for the creature, you're not going to see them. I mean, they're not just going to pop out in front of you. You have to know what to listen for, what to look for, what to hear, and know what the signs are, you know. And it blows me away how lucky we are to know so many people across the U.S. that we've met that, you know, trust us enough to, well, feed us the information and let us know what's going on. You know, just like our first guest this evening. We met him, God, it's coming up on, two, I think, almost 2 years now. And it was summertime, and it was down in Texas. And he has a game reserve that he leases out. And he started getting strange. Well, he wasn't a big putter, folks. He was hearing stories from hunters that were coming back off of his land that were, well, kind of weird to him and grandiose because, you know, he knows his land. You know, he's owned it for years and he's leased it out, and now he's having his own experiences. And with no further ado, let's bring Mr. Kelly on.
How you doing this evening, TJ?
Doing really good, Kelly. Very excited to hear what's going on. I mean, you know, we shared the text a couple nights ago, no, mornings ago. And
it's typical. You know, used to, you know, I'd have thought it would be something very seldom, but it seems like it's, and you're right. When you're kind of listening for certain things and you're looking for certain things, you're going to notice it a little more often if you don't know what you're looking for or what you're listening to. So, you know, it's just like tree knocks, you know. They're really common. You know, you would think that they would be far and few between, but, you know, every few weeks, you know, or maybe once a week, and you'll hear it, and you'll have people say, hey, there's somebody out in the woods over here chopping wood, you know, and it's because they don't know what they're listening for, and they're mistaking somebody chopping wood in the middle of nowhere for something that's hitting a tree with another piece of wood, you know? Go ahead.
I agree with you wholeheartedly, you know? I mean, people just dismiss it as something else, and well, that's the problem, you know? If you don't know what to hear, what to look for, what signs are going to be out there, you're just going to dismiss it. I mean, if you're looking and hunting for squirrel, you're not going to look, see the deer. You're not going to see the sign, you know. You're looking for that. You know, you got to keep your eyes and wide and mind wide open, just like you do.
Yeah, and you know, it is a controversial subject because, you know, mainstream people, you know, they don't understand because they've never really been exposed to deep wilderness areas, you know. So, you know, there's a lot of skeptical people out there and some people that, you know, just don't believe at all. But, you know, they've never had the opportunity to be exposed to something that you can't rationally explain until you finally go through every scenario that convinces you that what it really is, you know. And you know, I believe without a doubt, you know, and I've had people criticize me for it, which we all get that same thing from some people.
You know, I want to say, you know, in the beginning, it wasn't the criticism. I was more embarrassed to talk about it, I guess. You know, the criticism I didn't really care about because, you know, you didn't see what I saw. I don't care what you say. You know, your words and your actions don't dictate what I do. You know, you go ahead and believe what you want. I know what I saw with my two own eyes. Just because you didn't see it. And then I always bring this up to him, Kelly. I go, oh, by the way, do you believe in God? And right up, oh, absolutely. When's the last time you saw him? Oh, I don't have to see him. I have faith.
Yeah, that's a real good scenario. And, you know, I think we've all used that one, you know. And because I'm a very religious man, I have faith, you know, and faith is devout, you know, to be able to rationalize sometimes. But when you see and you hear and you see all the different signs and tracks and things like that, you know, that's pretty hard evidence, you know. That's enough to convict me. But so here's the latest little scenario that happened on the property about 3 weeks ago, right? I got one of my leasers, his dad came down from Kentucky, going to come down and deer hunt. And he did it last year, and, you know, so he showed up again this year for a week, and he was sitting in his deer stand that's back in the creek bottom where everything happens, you know, the old good creek bottom. And so he's sitting there in his blind, and he hears something, like his door is opening on his deer stand. And he kind of turns around, and he had a little rope holding it shut, wrapped around a nail. And he goes, the rope was starting to unspiral, and he saw 8 big fingers up under the bottom of the door starting to open it up. Well, you know, he went to try to spin around in his chair, and he hit the wall. He said the hands just pulled out from under the door. And, you know, he heard some brush crash behind his blind because it's back up against the thicket and the windows are facing the open area, right? So he gets the door open and he can't understand where whatever it was went, you know? And his son told him, oh, Dad, it was probably just some little raccoon fingers. And the old man got pretty upset about it because he goes, no, these were big fingers, you know? So, you know, no human's going to walk up there with somebody sitting in a blind and go to open the door with somebody sitting in it with, you know, a high-powered rifle and, you know, a pistol on their hip. You know, right. It's just, it seems like they're becoming a little bolder. And I think they're getting used to the people that kind of, you know, are exposed to the area they hang out in. You know, it's very intriguing how more often the incidents have been happening over the last 5 years.
You know, they're getting, like you said, more bolder. I wonder what would happen if you weren't trying to startle them. You know, if the door was to open up, you know, what would that situation bring? I mean, just I think about things like that because, you know, if it ever happened to me and I saw the hands coming under, I'd wait to see the door open before I said anything, you know what I mean? Mom, but when it's your first time, you're right, you're startled. But when you're seasoned and you've been there like us, it's a whole different world, I guess. Wow. So does he plan on coming back?
Well, so he stayed for the rest of the week, you know, because he had his nephew with him also, you know, to go back. And He wouldn't go out there for the evening hunt anymore. He would only go out there mid-morning for a few hours and come back. And before, he'd been going out and hog hunting at night and stuff. And once it was dark, you couldn't get him out of the camp. He wouldn't leave the camp over there. He stayed in there with everybody else. But, you know, it rattled him. You know, he didn't know what to think about it.
Well, it shakes the very essence of your soul, you know. If you're chosen, and that's how I look at it, you know, these creatures are so fast. They're so vast knowledge of the woods that if they don't want you to see them, you're not going to see them. So it's a privilege to hear them, to see them, to even interact with them. I mean, you know, it would be like going down and finding El Dorado, being shown by the Aztecs. Here it is. Now take a look. Okay, put the blindfold back over your head. We're taking you back out. You
know? Yeah, that's it. But, you know, it's just, you know, you learn, you know, things about the forest and the woods and what animals do and what, you know, a bipedal animal does us. When people walk in the woods and they step on things, they snap. When deer and bear and hogs and all that stuff move through the woods, those animals don't necessarily step on things like that because, you know, some of them are the prey and some of them are the meat eater themselves. But, No, you can tell when something is walking on two legs versus four legs. And with time and experience, you know, anybody can learn that stuff. And, well, you know, it's amazing how often you hear a two-legged animal or person walking in the woods, but there's not any people in those woods, you know. So, you know, you have to try to think about that. Who is it? What is it? You know, are you brave enough to go investigate? And that's where the line is. A lot of people won't go look.
No, no, you're right. You know, more often than others, they don't want to look. They're not ready yet mentally in their own mind to understand that that's the creature. He's there. You know, they're still playing with their own mind. Yes, no, it can't be. It's something else. It's this, it's that. They would rather say that it was a giant raccoon than a Bigfoot. So that ridicule doesn't come out, you know. It was a 500-pound raccoon. You know, that's what I saw. And people might go, ah, cool, you know. But you're right. When something is walking on two legs, bipedal, through the woods, it's usually making a lot of noise, like us.
Yeah.
So we walk through it like we own it. We don't care what's around us, but we're also packing a 45-70. We may have a 400 on our hip, you know, because we're only talking. But this is his own land, his own place. This is where he lives. And if he wants you to hear him, you'll hear him. Now, let's get to the story here. You know, a couple nights, a couple mornings ago, you were out there in that area, and you were obviously hunting.
Yeah, it's one of my my obsessions of life is to hunt. But, I was sitting there, and, you know, like I said, you know, the walking and the stepping on limbs and the snapping of stuff, and, you know, you'll hear stuff shake. You know, it's nothing like when a buck's, you know, in a bush, you know, cleaning the velvet off his rack, or he's just trying to leave his scent behind. It's a total different sound, you know. And it's almost like, you know, it wants me to know that it's out there. And, you know, it's almost like a game of hide and seek. You know, it wants me to know it's around. And, you know, sometimes it's really unnerving. You know, it does get your senses up a little bit where you're paying real close attention. But, you know, the sad thing about it all, TJ, is somebody's going to have to put one of them on the ground to prove to the rest of the world that it exists. You know, and but that's what it is. That's just the way things work. You know, you got to put hard evidence in people's face.
Yeah, you know, people are going to scoff at us. They're going to scorn us. But, you know, that's the way it is. Exactly what's going to have to happen. It's going to, you know, unfortunate. But you're 100% accurate and right. And you know what stuck with me about when we were talking is that you said it was sitting out there 60, 70 yards away. And it was pacing back and forth.
Yeah.
You understand that? Okay. Pacing. Letting you know that it sees you, but you can't see it because, remember, you were looking, trying to find it. You didn't get a good look, did you?
No. And, you know, I didn't text you back, but so later that day, you know, I left and went and got something to eat, and then I came back, you know, and I was sitting there. And everything was nice and quiet, you know, and all of a sudden, there it was again. It's like, oh, I hear you, you're back. Look, I'm out here, you know. But and it only went on for a few minutes, and then it just, you know, it went away, you know. But
you're obviously closer than you're supposed to be. There might have been, you know, it might be the den in there, and he might be a sentry. And, you know, just keeping an eye on you to make sure that you're not going to do anything crazy. You know, I can't wait to get back down there once the season picks up here again, because that's just too uncanny that you come back and he's there again letting you know, hey, I'm over here, stay where you're at. That's how I feel about that.
So you know, and you know, that's the same area that the piece of wood went flying through the air. That's the same area where we heard it walking through the mud one morning, you know, going back through a little slough area. You know, sounded like a 7 foot tall human trying to walk through mud. And so that's an area right there that it's really hot. I mean, in fact, that's one of the areas where me, you, your dad, and all the other guys were at, you know, when you were here.
So the area we walked into, the pine needles, that area?
Yeah, right there. But, you know, they've done a little work since y'all were here and cleared some more pine thicket. And, but, you know, it's a little easier walking. But it's, you know, it's just, that's a very secluded area through there.
If I remember correctly, at the backside, there was that little creek going through there, right?
Right, yeah. Not too far from right there, where I was, is that spot I call Bigfoot Alley, and then down from where that is was that little white building on the creek.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
And there was, okay, I remember the area now. That's right. So was it across the other side of the creek?
No, it was on this side. It would be good to go, you know, I know how to get through that area over to where you can cross that creek in a real narrow spot, and it's easier than coming in from the east side of the property.
Okay.
So, well, I'll just, you know, we could just tie you to a tree and leave you down there for a few days and see if you're okay when you come back.
No, I've got people for that. Don't worry. We'll tie them to the tree. You and me will sit back with a 4570 to take care of business.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Now, I'm trying to, has it been 2 years or has it only been a year and a half?
It's been nearly 2 years. About a year and a half. Yeah, about a year and a half.
Yeah, it was basically 2 summers ago.
Right.
Yeah, wow. Wow. Man, the time flies. We get older. Woo!
We don't take long.
No, it doesn't, Kelly. You know, I always enjoy talking to you, and, you know, we could talk guns and we could talk Bigfoot. I'm planning on getting back down there. We're going to have to get back down here this year. And, you know, I hope we're still welcome like we always, you know, we were, so.
Oh, yeah. I'll just shoot you the gate address and you can come on.
That's what sounds good to me, buddy. You know, Kelly, I want to thank you again for coming on. You know, I appreciate it. And if any more stories come on, if you're out there and you hear anything else, just like you do, just shoot me a text. Let me know what's going on. And heck, like I told you, shoot it, then call me, and I'll be there.
Yeah, well, if it's charging me, I'll send you my GPS coordinates, and you can find my remains.
You know, I see what you pack. I think Bigfoot would have a big problem. Well, let me ask you this. If you had to send me coordinates and there was no answer from you, I know there was a big problem because I know what you carry out in the woods. So
yeah, I've run out of ammo.
Exactly. Hey, Kelly, appreciate you coming on. We're going to move on to our next guest. Hope if you want to listen in, you can. If not, you know, until next time, my friend.
All right, brother. Well, I'm up here in the woods right now. I just came in a little while ago, and I'll be back out there tomorrow. You know, it's that time of year. I'll be up here for about the next month.
You know, get a big buck and a couple big hogs for us.
10-4, you got it. Have a good one. Bye.
You too, now. Roger that. Marco, let's go to a commercial. We'll come on back with our next guest, which would be, let's go with Richard.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now.
He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things, if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com. And we're back.
Wow, Marco. You know, Kelly's got some extraordinary, wonderful stories. And the property up there, you know, I'm thinking back to it now as, you know, what we've talked. The area that we were there, it was crazy. We actually we heard wood ducks that night. We didn't get to see the creature. We didn't get to see any sound. Maybe a few footprints, but, you know, you really couldn't tell with the pine needles. But the wood docks were happening the whole night we were there. Me and Rocky were just waiting. We had the whole team, you, me, Rocky, and we had another fellow from Texas, and Lee Joyner from up there, you know. So, folks, our next guest hails from New York. He is part of the family, knows my father really well. He has some great stories to explain to you what happened, and actually he's seen something in the video that we didn't even get to see after, you know, watching it. And that just, it proves to you that, you know, when you're watching something, you don't always see what you want to look for. You know what I mean? And his name is Richard, and he's out of New York. And Richard, how you doing this evening?
I'm doing okay, I guess, TJ.
Yourself and tell everybody where you're at and what got you into Bigfoot, and then we'll go from there.
I've always been interested since I was a child. But just outside the Capital District of New York State, and my location was about a 6,000-acre preserve. And in that preserve, I've actually heard two creatures talking samurai one day, and
wow.
it freaked the hell out of me. I don't know if you've ever been alone and heard that yourself.
I have.
Yeah, it's quite unique, isn't it?
It startled me in a sense to where I thought I was hearing people speak another language, samurai. When you said samurai, it almost sounds like a Japanese...
samurai, yeah.
Yeah, dialect. And
yep.
There's some audio that's online. If you type up samurai chatter, you'll actually hear it because some people have recorded it. And it's on there. And
that's what it sounded like, the one online. But you know what?
What?
It wasn't like they were 800-pound creatures doing it.
Right.
I think they were either juveniles or maybe people have said this before. A lot of people believe there's more than one species, and there's a smaller species.
Yes, I'm in agreement.
And that's what it sounded like. It wasn't loud. You know what I said? I said, boys, you can stop talking about me. You're scaring the hell out of me. I was
right.
By myself. In New York State, we can't carry a weapon when we go out.
Right.
So, you know, I'm so upset that I didn't hit the record button on my camera, on video. But you know what? I got a lot of good stuff. I've actually got a video of a 2-foot creature standing up, looking at me, and following my camera. as I pan from right to left, and as I come back to left, it ducks down. And I isolated snapshots from that video, and it sure has got a face on it. It's not a raccoon. It's a hominid. It doesn't look like a monkey, but it has a hominid-type face.
Mm-hmm.
Not a human face. Going at this place was like shooting fish in a barrel. But I don't know if you—I don't know if this has ever happened to you. They can be right in front of you. You don't see them, but your camera sees them.
Yeah, absolutely. They're masters of camouflage.
I did have two sightings where I caught them going across trail twice. But other than that, I knew they were there, but I could never ever isolate them.
Mm-hmm.
But think about my camera has. They could be right in front of me and I wouldn't see them.
Wow.
If they're not moving, you don't see them.
No, that's exactly what it is. I mean, you know, if you're walking through the woods, unless something is moving, and they're camouflaged to the point where you won't see them unless there's some kind of a sudden movement. I agree with you on that.
I know your dad used to be more interested in the larger creatures, you know, the big fellas. And I do have photos of that. I do have what I believe is photos of that. I can't understand. The more I know, the more I knew, the less I knew.
Right.
It's an enigma. I mean, what are these? Because in the background, where the one is standing and looking at me, there's a bigger creature in the back that I can see.
Mm-hmm.
What's the connection? I don't know, DJ.
You know, I'm thinking, you know, like I said, the one that I saw was nothing like the ones that I've heard of. You know, the huge, hairy, 500, 600, 700-pound creatures that were, you know, 8, whatever, 9 foot tall. That's nothing like what I saw. The one that I came across in Texas was probably maybe 200 or maybe 300 pounds, but was thinner, and you know, it had the broad shoulders and no neck, and it didn't have all the hair on its body. And
right.
You know, it goes back to the story of you're saying that there's different species, you know, and they adapt to their area. Or the thinner ones that aren't as heavy might be younger sentries that are guarding the pod. They're faster, you
right.
know what I mean? I don't know. A lot of speculation.
My first sighting, the one I saw go across the trail, was what I would call a man-sized creature. It was on all fours.
Right.
And I could not believe how fast that son of a gun went across that trail. I heard it before I saw it. And
Where
I go is, they call it the pine bush. And to go through those bushes like that, I don't know, it's got to have some kind of tolerance or something, because they're all crooked bushes. I've seen deer faster than any creature I ever saw move.
Well, yeah. You know, they're masters of their environment. They know what they're doing. They know how to hide. And like I was telling Kelly, you know, it's a privilege to get to see one. You know, you don't just see one. They let you see them. You know, the one that I ran up on it because I thought it was a guy in a monkey suit. And if it was a guy in a monkey suit, I figured he'd run away. You know, I'm chasing after him. But he didn't. He let me get close enough to him to where I could see him, realized that it wasn't the guy in a suit, then went from there, and it turned around and walked away from me. It wasn't going to harm me. You know, I didn't feel that it was going to do anything to me at all, but I was in awe. I walked back out of that swamp and walked up to my father and said, I'm sorry. You know, you're right.
I think they used to count coup on me, I swear to God.
They what?
I think they used to count coup on me. You know.
What's that?
See how, like Native Americans, see how close they could get to me?
Oh.
And, you know, like coup, you know, when a Native American goes in battle and they don't kill the enemy, they touch them with a stick.
Right. To prove that they're yeah, gotcha.
They got, that was their entertainment. I'd sing when I walked. And I'll tell you what, I was usually scared because I was by myself. And because of where it is, I was just as scared of I was scared of the creatures. I was afraid of the humans that were in that preserve that worked for the U.S. government. Because I was obviously getting too close.
Gotcha.
Because they closed off a trail on me after I called your dad with that sighting. The trails are color-coded, and I gave him the color of the trail. That was on a Wednesday from Maine. When I went back, Monday morning when I went back home, the trail was closed on both ends with a sign and fence. The only trail in the whole preserve. And I told your dad I saw the creature on that trail. They closed it. That's where I heard the shamrock also.
Why do you think they closed it?
Because I was getting too close. It's a preserve. I've never seen them add money in this place. It's the most pristine, beautiful place you could ever see. The trails are color-coded, kept up, bush hog, you know, cut. Beautiful. But they never collect any money, never ask for any money. Somebody's giving them money.
Sure.
When there's a sign that says, if you go around the sign, you'll be prosecuted by the federal government, why would they do that? Why would they do that?
Because you're getting too close.
Absolutely. I haven't been back there in years because I had the amputation. But I was just as scared of that as I was of the creatures, that I would disappear someday. And I believe it's happened before. I mean, you know, I heard Rocky, it was either Rocky or Sweet, say one time they were stopped and handcuffed and everything.
Well, Rocky and they were actually, you know, taken into a van and swift away to someplace and, you know, worked over for a couple of days before they were taken back to their vehicle and said, don't ever come back here again.
Yeah.
We'll be watching, you know.
If I had your dad with me, because of his notoriety, I would go around the fence and the sign.
There you go. You know?
I could disappear and nobody would say anything, but if it was your dad, then, you know, somebody would raise hell and, you know, there'd be at least an outcry about it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what it's going to take. It's going to take, well, you know, Kelly said it. It's going to take somebody with a gun to bring back proof and prove to the world to show it so that everybody else sees it before anybody's taking serious. And then these creatures get the real protections they need all across the U.S., all over the planet. You know,
yeah.
Have been here longer than we have. You know, they are the true Native Americans, Native Europeans, Native Africans. They have everything. You know,
I believe they're a hominid. They're not a primate. They're either a hybrid or a hominid.
Yeah, I don't believe they're any kind of a primate. They're probably some kind of an offshoot off of, you know, Homo erectus or
Right. I don't want to sound crazy. But have you ever noticed, has anybody ever noticed creatures with white faces? Like they're wearing, not that that's their natural pigmentation, but they're like putting something on their face?
Well, I don't know if it was that, but I've heard that, you know, I've heard stories of creatures with white faces, but they've never said that they thought it was some kind of a makeup or a paste or a clip.
That's what I believe it. That's what I believe because I believe that they have a higher degree of intelligence than we give them credit for.
Oh, well, people that don't give them credit for it are the fools because these creatures have a higher degree of intelligence, just as you stated it, and they know the woods, they know the planet. Somehow they know what we're thinking or what we're feeling. Who knows? I mean, just like an animal, you know, knows that, you know, we say, you know, stop, and it says, you know, our dogs will stop doing what they're doing, you know, and that's not training. That's actually thinking. You know what I mean?
I took a dog with me once, my daughter's dog. Mm-hmm. And when I made the turn in the trail to what I call Indian country, he sat down on all fours, TJ, and I was pulling him by the collar. He would not budge. And I did hear Russia in the background, like, you know, like something walking, like something growling us. Buster would not move. But when I said, okay, fella, if you don't want to go, we'll go back. When we went to go in the other direction, he beat me the hell out of that place.
Wow.
I've always believed in these things, and I'm convinced that they're, nobody can ever convince me that they're not real. Nobody.
People that try to convince you that they're not real have something either to hide or they're fools. You know, well, or they never get out in the woods. There's three types, or they never get out in the woods. So
no,
yeah.
How can you say something's real that you don't even look for, that you don't
exactly.
even read about?
Exactly. You know.
When you guys do nail one, I mean, I can't. I am not. I have no jealousy in my body at all. I want somebody to get one of these things and prove they're real.
Exactly.
I don't care who it is. I don't care who. I mean, don't you ever, like you said, I know you guys are armed, but if you shot one, aren't you afraid that there's more than one?
I have to fight your way out? You know, I've thought that through, and, you know, yeah, I worry that if we take one down, there's five others that we don't see. And what they could do to retaliate, yes, I've thought about it. But, you know, when we're out on expedition, there's enough of us with enough firearms, with enough power, that one of us would still be around, and hopefully all of them wouldn't be. So
I know Rocky and Sweet are pretty good, but, I mean,
yeah.
These things can come out of any place.
Right.
You're walking down the trail, they can come out of anywhere.
Yeah, they can.
You wouldn't know until they were on you.
Right, you know. But if you know the signs and you know what you're looking for, you'd have an idea.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you agree?
Well, you do. But I still, maybe because I go by myself and I'm unarmed, okay?
Right. Yeah.
It's different than you guys going fully backed up and there's more than one of you. Somebody
right.
can watch your back. I see a footprint. I'd almost be hesitant to go down and look at it because I didn't want to put myself in a position where I was vulnerable.
Well, like you said, you're by yourself, and that's pretty smart, you know, if you're by yourself.
Yeah, and I got nothing.
Nobody can blame you there.
I got a bunch of stuff I want to send Marco.
Okay.
I'll send you some stuff that'll amaze you.
Okay. I've had
nothing to do because I haven't been able to go out, but go through it and analyze it. And I know the difference between a blob, squatch, and a creature. When I first started doing this, I was seeing them every place, like everybody else. Every patch of shade was a Bigfoot, right?
Right.
Well, that don't happen anymore. Like that one with your dad. He's standing and talking, and there's one leaning behind a tree, leaning out, listening to him, knowing that nobody can see him. There was more than one, but I could see one very clearly.
Well, like you said, we're their entertainment when we're out there. They're looking at us like we watch TV. You know, they've got nothing else to do. And I'm sure they're watching us to learn to mimic us and to mimic what we're doing and the language comes from them listening to us and trying to, you know, copy us. That's what I think.
He was up at, you guys were, I think, in Colorado. I don't know if you guys saw anything on that trip, but he's talking about how they come up to the higher elevation where he was to get cool in the summer. You know, it's a difference of like 15 or 20 degrees.
Oh, you mean Utah.
Utah, is that Utah?
That was Utah, yeah, when we had the drones.
Yeah, but he had his back to the tree line.
Yep, that's right. I was filming him.
Well, guess what? You go back to that film and you look over his, he's facing you. Look over his left shoulder. There's a tree right behind him. I don't know. I can't judge distance. But you take another look at that tree. You take another look at that video. And you'll see that there's something there.
Awesome.
I know if you weren't looking for it, you're not going to see it, but I got nothing. I had nothing else to do.
Okay. What a perfect segue. Hey, Richard, I'd like to thank you for coming on the show tonight.
You're welcome, Jay.
We'll be expecting those pictures and, well, the package you're going to send, Mark. I appreciate it.
If you contact me, I'll send them in.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Richard. Thanks for coming on. Hey, Marco, do we just have Audrey, or who else do we have on?
Oh, we got Audrey.
Awesome. Let's go to a commercial, come back with Audrey, and finish her up with the number one gal from Kentucky.
Here we go.
1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks on the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television and Tyler Lundgren. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical. When I came out here, I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Like landed on the ground, I kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com. And we're back.
Oh, we're always back, and I love it. You know, these guests that we have on, we're so privileged to know these folks, Marco, that the knowledge that they have that we could draw upon just totally blows me away. You know, like I would say, we're privileged to know so many people and get to know them and meet them and to gain and break bread with them. It's awesome.
Well, you know, TJ, over 15 years, we've had over 1,200 guests.
Wow.
These are people that have, you know, had mostly visual sightings of this creature. And it's amazing. That's a lot of guests.
When you say that number, 15 years, it blows me away because time has gone by so fast, Marco.
I know. Well,
wow.
Our guest Audrey is on the line, ready to go.
Mrs. Hey, Audrey from Kentucky, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys doing?
You know, we're hanging in here. We're still here. We're alive. And, you know, we're sitting on the edge of our seats waiting to tell us if you got the creature or not.
Well, I'd love to catch it. But you know what? They just show they're more intelligent than us because they never got caught.
Right.
Nobody's ever caught one. So it's got to be some intelligence there not to get caught all them years they've been around, you know?
Yeah, well, I'm hoping that, you know, we're the team or somebody does.
Well, it's been really weird around here lately. when I did that urine thing, you know, a little while back,
mm-hmm.
for the last, I guess it started last Thursday night, it sounded like something sat down next to my window, my back, where my bedroom's at, because I have four bedrooms here, you know. And when it sat down, I thought it was going to go through the wall. It was so heavy. And it kind of scared me, you know, because I wasn't expecting it. But I thought, oh, if it's out there, I'm in here, you know. I just let it go. And but there, I got four rooms here. I have a roommate. You've met him, Jim. And he pretty much stays to himself, you know, and he does his own thing. And he doesn't get too scared, but he don't go out there and venture around like I do. If I hear something, I get out there and go looking around and stuff, you know. But for the last, probably since last Friday, he's been coming knocking on my door saying there's something pounding and pounding. Well, I've been hearing it too, but it's on the distance from my baby monitor. I can't pick it up. So his room is in the garage, inside behind his wall, and something's been pounding and keeping him up and waking him up and, you know, getting him startled and weird noises he's been hearing. He keeps waking me up. Like I said, I can't pick it up on my monitor. He's too far over. And I said, well, you know, we've been hearing crackle sounds, bang sounds, loud sounds, aggressive sounds. So I went out there last night and went looking around, and he never comes out and follows me. You know, he knows I pretty well can hold my own. And, well,
right.
he come out there, and he said, you need to get in here, and you need to get in here now. You need to stop. And before he said that, I was out there. It's the big one. The big, huge ones are back.
Wow.
Yeah, and they are aggressive. They're very aggressive anyway. But since the urine thing I was telling you about, you know, it's making them more. And I have a cousin staying. She's been staying off and on, you know, with me. And she's scared to death. She plays specifies her. She won't go out after dark. And she does, somebody walks her to the car. She said, there is something on here. But when I was out there, I don't know, it was making cracking sounds and you know, breaking sounds, and the dogs won't go off the back porch for the last week and a half. They won't go off the porch. If they do, they come back on. And I got that whole field back, and they like running. So they're getting really nervous, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I don't know if the urine did it or because even – I don't know if the urine caused them to get more aggressive around here, but I got the feeling like they was going to grab me. They wasn't going to play. They wasn't playing because, well, I'm like, oh, where you at? I started howling back at them, you know, and they don't usually bother me. But I could see these big, huge things again, and it's to one of them big one step forward. Like, you know, they like have no necks, you know what I'm saying? And they look like they're together. You know, their necks are together. They probably do, but it's more like it looks like one – from head down, you know. I wouldn't like that one I seen about 3 weeks ago, 3.5 weeks ago. I seen one that looked like Harry the Hendrickson, whatever you call that one, on the Henry movie.
Yeah, Harry.
He had a dog in his hand. And he made me feel really pleasant. He didn't seem threatening. He was more human than any of the ones I've ever seen. But whatever these are, look like some kind of monster or something. But I guess, you know, it's a different kind of Sasquatch or, you know, tribal. But I could feel them wanting to get me, and I thought, you know what? They're scaring me. My gut started hurting. You know how you get that fear in your gut to back off?
Yeah.
And then he come out, he felt it too. He says, look, you know, Jim never comes out there. He stays in the room, you know, never has that kind of trouble on his side of the house. But he said, it's driving me crazy. It's waking me up. It's banging. It's ruffling around. It's loud. And then he said, that's not human. Whatever that is, you just need to back off, being bad butt, and come back in here, get in here. And when I was coming in, I could feel it. It was still coming. It was coming out of the woods. It wasn't playing. And I beat it to the door, let's put it that way. And then, like I say, like 2 nights ago, it opened the front door. Whatever was on that porch opened that. Yeah. They're getting really, really scary. You know, starting to, these big ones scare me. I ain't going to lie. The bread one. Huh?
They're getting comfortable.
Yeah, but they're making a weird sound. They made a weird hum sound. It was like the female, I guess, was making a weird hum sound. You could hear it humming.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard any humming?
No, I haven't. You know, when you say humming, I try to think back, and no, I have never heard any humming.
It was like a growl hum, not like a human hum, but you could tell it was like that hum.
Oh, you mean like a guttural sound?
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Oh, yes, I've heard the guttural.
What is that?
That's, I don't know what they're doing or why they're doing it, but, you know, it's a low guttural sound. It could be, you know, stay away from us or, you know, come say hi to us. I don't know. You know, a lot of different theories out there from what it is. But you're right.
If anybody shot one of these,
that's of communication.
But I'll tell you what, if anybody shot one of these bad boys on this property, they'd have 10 on them within 2 seconds. They wouldn't get out of here alive. I'm telling you, there were so many over there that it was creepy. I said, now, you know, people's going to think I'm crazy, but I'm even scared now. I usually don't get like that, but the tall, skinny one, I like watching him bounce around. You can't miss him, and he bounces. He's fast. He's quick. And then the other ones, but these are different. Tommy, these are different. They make me come out of my skin. There were the ones I was standing up there next to that with that peanut butter, you know. But I was hurt, and it was like they was concerned about me being hurt. Because, you know,
I don't think you're doing it to me, Audrey. I think you're okay with them. Otherwise,
I don't know.
You know,
I run pretty fast.
I think they're so comfortable with you that they play with you. They want your attention, and when you don't give them their attention, they go and ask for it their own way.
Is that what that is? Well, I'll tell you what, I don't mind the other ones, but they're creepy. They're too big for me to play with. I don't want to be the
You know, your big one, H&H, from what you say. I think he likes you, he'll protect you, and he's the one that's, you know, keeping you safe.
You know, I kind of believe that because this is going to sound crazy. I have got other stuff going on I don't like to talk about in the air, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I've got some weird stuff going on, like 2 days ago when we went to my daughter's house and someone was in her house when we came in and jumped out the window, and the dog had bit them, okay? And there was, like, blood on the tub.
We got 60
blood on the
seconds.
Toilet. Blood on the toilet, blood on the tub, blood in the kitchen, all over the place, but they didn't steal nothing. Nothing was taken. Now, what the heck? Mm-hmm. And then people up around, these are people that sometimes, you know, you mess with me. Maybe they're watching out for me. Maybe they really are there to scare people off.
Wow.
Maybe
wow, Audrey,
I'm telling
you,
I don't see.
Every time we talk, it's you know, you're opening up not only my mind, but everybody else out there that's listening. And, you know, folks, we've come to that magic hour again, and we'd like to, you know, thank Audrey from Kentucky and Richard from New York, and we'd also like to thank Kelly from down in Texas. Now, you folks, don't worry. We're going to have Audrey on back next week again because she's our ongoing, you know, person in the field that lets us know what's happening. Isn't that correct, Audrey?
Yes, it is.
All right. Folks, it's that time again. We'd like to say goodbye. And Mrs. Calabash, wherever you are, we're going to find you. Keep putting and check back next week for the Searching for Bigfoot team and the Bigfoot Live Radio broadcast with Marco Bill and TJ and Rocky Slavens.
Tom was a man with dreams.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is Marco Bill, and that's the Bigfoot Live radio show for this week. All of us on the Bigfoot Live Network would like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests for joining us tonight for an exciting evening of talk show entertainment where you, the listeners, become a part of our on-the-air adventure. And we'd also like to thank you, our listeners, for sharing our adventure with us. Join us again next Wednesday evening for another exciting hour of the Bigfoot Live radio show with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. Until then, this is Marco Bill saying good night, and be good, be safe, and be here next week. See you then.
Reason for the fact.